Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
Let's go. It is going to be a painful show as our dear beloved LSU Tiger baseball team did fall to North Carolina yesterday. And obviously, Jake Brown is our thumbnail image. I am already envisioning the Malik Nabers versus Florida State career arc for this young man, because every day this offseason, he's going to be thinking about that mistake and working so hard to fix it. Coming up a little bit later, we'll have Blake Ruffino on, who actually covers and watches every single pitch of every single LSU baseball game. As many of you know, I watch not as much as a lot of you do. And look, we're going to talk about a lot of different topics, including major changes that are coming to college baseball, which honestly, it is a sport that I'm relatively passionate about. I love the sport. I think it's a great pure sport that we have in America with a very underrated postseason. And I'll be honest, college baseball has become my favorite postseason in all of sports. So we'll talk about that. We'll also get into some LSU football recruiting. I'll tell you this, tonight might be a little bit more baseball focused because it is the final show, kind of like what we did for women's basketball. And of course, you know, women's basketball broke all kind of records on this channel for any LSU sport. So we'll talk a lot of baseball tonight. I understand that a lot of you want to chat about that. It is the topic du jour. Let me start by saying, as far as the season is concerned, we as an LSU baseball program just was not really prepared at the start of the year. I don't think that's really that hot of a take. And look, the fact that this team was able to turn it on shows you that Jay Johnson is a very good coach. I've always said, the sign of a good coach is, are your teams getting better as the season moves on? And pretty much every single one of Jay Johnson's teams at LSU have done just that. Obviously, last year being, you know, the perfect example of that very thing. And that's a sign that you do have a very, very good coach. The next thing I would say, though, is you need a lot of luck to win in baseball. And you can even make a case that you need more luck in baseball than any of the other sports. Y'all, what happens in college baseball postseasons is voodoo. Like, it's not even real. That's why I love it. You don't see this kind of baseball played really at all. You know, Major League Baseball, its postseason is so short and it's only a few teams. College baseball, you have this home and away, kids really getting after it. You really have got to have a lot of luck. And you got to ask yourself this question. Would you have rathered more luck this year or last year? Because, of course, last year you got incredibly lucky. You were the best team, but you did have a lot of things go your way for you to win the national championship last year. So you need a lot of good fortune. And LSU, of course, has had more good fortune than not good fortune. So look, I'm fine with where we are as a baseball program. You see the poll question attached to today's show. Would you give this team an A, a B, a C, or a D or F? Comment down below. Let me know what you guys think. Now, the final thing, and I really do believe this to be true, and I think it is so unfreaking believably important to share this with all of you. We're still in a good spot for the future. Lots of youth. Stephen Milam will be back next year. Super excited to see if this was just a flash in the pan or if he is going to continue to be one of the best stories that we have in all of college baseball. I don't know. I know it's good. It's going to be tough to see. It really, really is. But I'm very excited about the future. Jake Brown, obviously, we mentioned a minute ago, Braswell, and so on and so on. So let me know what you guys think down below. North Carolina, though, if LSU were to play North Carolina 10 times, North Carolina is winning 6 out of every 10 times. So look, were they the slightly better team? Yes, they were older. They were at home. They had the better season. They were the number 4 national seed. You can make a case they are the best team left remaining in this whole thing. But I'm very happy with how hard we fought. I understand moral victories don't really matter a whole lot to LSU baseball fans. I get that. But to start 3-12 to get and get to where we are right now, I'll take it. Now, should Ackenhausen have been pulled? I'll let you guys come to your own conclusion. I will say this. The thing that really sucks about being a baseball coach is the micro decisions that you make. And I understand coaches make a lot of the pitching calls now as far as like the individual pitches. But really, your macro decisions are so unfreaking believably important. And as I've gotten older, one thing that I've learned, and Tyler chimes in here, we win the Natty next year as long as our pitchers stay healthy. Yeah, Cam Little not being available was a bigger deal than I thought. But one thing, you get older, it's not necessarily the plays you call, or it's not necessarily what you think could potentially happen that matters. It's who you play. It's honestly your roster decisions. We were talking about this in the Discord. Should Paxton Kling have been playing? You know, he's had a tough year at the plate this year. So whatever the case may be, those decisions are really tough. And, you know, in football, outside of the quarterback, really, and kicker and punter, these onesie positions, it's a little bit easier to see who can play and who can't play. So, did I not say Christian Little? I'm sorry about that. What did I say? Jared, good to see you. If coaches make the pitching call, can the pitcher shake it off if he doesn't like it? You know, that's where the pitching clock comes in, Pegasus. I don't think so. I really don't, because you just really don't have a whole lot of time to audible, if you will. Oh, did I say Cam Little? Okay, Christian Little. All right. Cam Johnson is another reliever. So, the next thing, I want to get into some college football recruiting here. I want to talk about some LSU football before we get to Blake Ruffino. I decided to sit down, and I used to enjoy doing this. Like in the early days of PHL, okay, all I did was watch recruits. And I would watch all of them. Like even ones that wouldn't even decide to go to LSU. And I still do watch quite a bit. And, you know, I get some things right. I get some things wrong. As many of you know in the Discord, I released my own grades. And, you know, I'm going through grading the rest of the class. You can go to patreon.com/LSU football and get my spring grades. Okay. What I would tell you, though, is I do not like watching transfer portal guys. That's a little bit different. I do watch it, but there's something really cool about trying to guess and calibrate if a kid can play collegiate football. Because, you know, you can go watch Gio Paez and have a little bit more of a concrete decision of whether or not he can play or not. There is a higher floor and potential lower ceiling with going to get a guy like him, but you know he can play. It's a lot more interesting, and it does take a little bit more skill and a lot more luck to see if you could pick out who the high school guys are that really stand out to you. So what I decided to do was reach out to all of my sources. And I went through and I said, hey, who was on campus? Who stood out to you? And I was given a list of names. And I went and watched these names play. All right. And two names that are connected to LSU now that stood out to me, that shook me to my core, that pleasantly surprised me, is one that is likely not to go to LSU and one that is likely to go to LSU. Let's start with the one that's not likely to go to LSU. All right. Kalik Lockett is so good. He is so good at high school football. He is a five-star receiver out of Texas. My goodness gracious. He is so good. And it would not shock me if he turned, like right now, he's like in the 20s. And I predicted this last year with Cam Coleman, who ended up going to Auburn. He visited LSU. It wasn't really going our way. And he decided to go to Auburn. And on this show, I said, Cam Coleman is the best wide receiver in this class. And what happened? He moved into the top five national players. Now, Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State is probably going to be transcendently good, but I told you Cam Coleman was going to rise. I think Kalik Lockett is going to rise. It's hard to rise higher than what he already is, but God dang, he's good. And the fact that he was on campus was really freaking cool. But then again, he is a wide receiver. That is not the most important position for LSU to go recruit, because we always find wide receivers, guys that weren't even supposed to go to LSU, ended up picking LSU as wide receiver. But man, Kalik Lockett is good. Like, there were some really, really special things that popped out to me athletically and all of that. So Kalik, I'm a big fan of yours no matter where you go, unless, of course, it's a school that we have to play. But before I get to this next player, I want to welcome in BT, Pierce, Bullfrog, Cole, Jared, Lou, TT, the whole crew. LSU is in here. Cole, Lance on Facebook. We appreciate you, Lance. I'm trying to get my Facebook views up. I don't know what to do. I've brought this up plenty of times. I don't know what to do. I crush on YouTube, can't get anything going on Facebook. Impossible to kind of figure out how many people watch me on X. Whatever the case may be, I love you all. Okay? I want to talk about Brandon Brown. All right? Brandon Brown was a fun watch. And I thought I had his 247 profile up here, but I will pull it up for you. And I'll pull up Lockett's a little bit later. All right. So there's a few things that I like, and there's a few things that that really, I'm not going to say bother me per se, but man, he is predicted to flip to LSU. I will say this. And you guys know, all right, any of you that have been following me, I don't just sign off on recruits saying that they're going to be the next great thing just because they pick LSU. Now, the fan in me cheers for a kid. If you decide to pick LSU, I am going to root for you like hell. But personally, I might not think you're as good as other people might think you're good. All right, a good example of this, anyone that's a Discord member, anyone that's been a longtime PHL subscriber, Pegasus or whoever knew that was not a big Jaylen Brown guy. I wasn't. And it didn't work out. He might be great at Florida State, but I just didn't see it. All right. I see it with Brandon Brown. This was a fun watch for me. I understand 6'2", 275. That doesn't look that great. And I understand that we want meat. And Zion Williams, who you see right here, he's got a little bit more meat, right? You see 6'3", 296. That would be someone who is a little bit more immediate in helping us. A little bit more scheme versatile, if you will, just because of his pure size and strength. But I'm telling you right the frick now, Brandon Brown can play. Hands are cement. They when he jacks you up, you get jacked up. Brandon Brown can play football. He can flat out play football. And part of why I like him is he's kind of the mold of what our defensive line coaching is all about. It's Bo Davis's identity. Devondre Sweat at Texas was not a big-time recruit. Byron Murphy was an okay recruit. I believe he was a slightly better recruit than Brandon Brown here. But these are the kind of guys that Bo Davis chisels into being really freaking good football players. So, Brandon Brown, I love this kid. I really do. I really, really had fun watching him today. So, take that for what it's worth. Okay? Those were the two guys that had exceeded my expectations. And I watched a lot of guys that visited over the weekend. I'm not saying that those two guys are going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm just telling you those are guys I want to see play for my school instead of going to another school. Okay? Now, I do want to include that I have heard things on the DeCorian Moore front. I was just on with Blake Ruffino, who will be joining us in a second. You know, I'm really not going to talk about DeCorian Moore too much because you guys are exhausted with this situation. But if we get Khalik Lockett, we already got Teron Francis, who is more of an LSU wide receiver, the four-star middle-tier wide receiver, has always kind of been the best receivers at LSU. So maybe he's a guy. Maybe there's two guys in this class. Normally there is. But we get to our first super chat. It is Jay Red, who is super chatting me because he is very happy that I'm not talking about baseball anymore. I will ask about Blake about baseball because I value his expertise. I also value Chance's baseball expertise. He is one of our baseball diehards who does watch every pitch of every game. So, yeah, I mean, right on cue. He said last night was a TJ Yeldon style gut punch. Yeah, that one. No, that was an all-time gut punch. I will say the TJ Yeldon play, like obviously the McFadden Arkansas game hurt the most, but that had a happy ending. The Yeldon play was probably the worst, if we're being honest. It was probably the worst. Actually, no, I will take that back. The Yeldon play did not hurt the worst for me as an LSU fan. And I was also at that game. I was on the field for the play. If I'm being honest about the LSU game that hurt my soul the worst. Y'all. It's got to be the Ole Miss game from last year. It's got to be. For a lot of different reasons. That I won't get into this year because we were focusing on the positive and we were focusing on the future. But if you want a super chat, you literally have to pay me to share why that game really broke my heart. There's some behind the scenes stuff about that game that also broke my heart. But whatever the case may be, it is what it is. Dude, I can't. The Ole Miss game last year tore me up. Tore me to freaking shreds. All right. Now, Brandon Brown, Kalik Lockett. Remember those two names. Those are my two kind of guys here. I'm excited about Shanklin. We interviewed Shanklin at the spring game. I might release the audio. I'm going to wait till he commits, and then I'll release some of the interview. Really excited about him. All right. Damian Shanklin out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Here's what I will say. I've watched a little, and I do think he's solid. I really do. But this does go against what we've been preaching for a while now. You're going way out of your footprint to go get him. Now, Bryce Underwood, yes, every school should do whatever it takes to get Bryce Underwood. Five-star at the most important position. Transcendent five-star based on his recruiting ranking. But Shanklin's from the north. Now, it doesn't mean he can't play. He's got a PHL band, too. Maybe the PHL band is what influenced him to go to LSU. He's got one. Underwood's got one. DJ Pickett's got one. Uh-oh. The master. Master's here. What's up, Master Blaster? What's up, team? Now, I kind of don't want to get into like some current team kind of stuff, but I will tell you, like, it is interesting. I do sometimes think people talking about like sports specialization is kind of, you know, overblown. But man, I didn't know like how much time baseball takes up to be a great baseball player. Like all the camps, all the AAU stuff feels like that, you know, for me back then. It's part of the reason why I gave up baseball. I wasn't that good, but I was on an AAU team. I was on an AAU team with the kid that went first round to the Cubs. I was the worst player on the team by far, though. Worst player. I went because Six Flags was included. Seriously, true story. I can get one of my teammates on here talk about it. I just think it's crazy. Like, I just think if you're a good baseball player and a good football player, you should be allowed to play both. I'm not saying that LSU is blocking anyone from that. I'm talking about a potential high school recruit that is having to make the decision of playing football or baseball. He's a little bit on the younger side. But it's tough. It's really, really tough. I wish all kids in high school can play all three sports. Let's see. Chance is heading to Louisiana to visit family. I'll be in Louisiana not this weekend, but the next. Got some really fun things in the works for PHL. Had a great phone call. We are not going to reveal who it is, but We do have a brand new exciting partner hopping on with us here at PHL. And it's a business that has helped make money for some former LSU football players that may or may not have been on the channel in the past. So I can't wait for you to learn more about them. And I appreciate you, Cole, because something happened to me today. I rarely get these opportunities to do this stuff because, you know, whenever you do a deep dive, like I've spent this last week, and I used to do a lot more deep dives on PHL, they're impossible to do. Number one, they don't make a whole lot of money because it's like a very deep kind of dive into a topic, and it may not reach a lot of people. And honestly, if you do deep research and you do deep film studies, it takes up a lot of time. You know, when I do a live stream, I'm just going live. You know, when I'm done, the show is over. Now I do a lot of preparation about topics. And, you know, today I watch a lot of high school, you know, huddle tapes, whatever. But my favorite thing to do are live streams. But I do miss doing deep dives. They just, you know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. So for the NFL channel, I decided to tackle a big topic I'm passionate about, which is Joe Burrow. And what people forget about Joe Burrow is how integral he is to how the NFL is being played today. And there was one major rule change that was about to happen, and Joe Burrow saved the day. And it would have neutered the NFL. It would have sucked a lot of the life out of the NFL. And I thank God that Joe Burrow saved us from it. And the truth is, I love Joe Burrow with all my heart, as do every single one of you, all 195 of you watching this right now. If this were Justin Herbert doing what Burrow did to save us from a neutered NFL, I would have done a video on Justin Herbert. That's how passionate I was about this topic. It was just that every one of our favorite player of all time saved the day for the NFL, but no one gives him credit for it. Because it's a what have you done for me lately, and it's a how many Super Bowls have you won conversation. And obviously Joe Burrow's won zero Super Bowls. Not his fault that, you know, a respected coach decided to run Samaje Perine with the game on the line. But also, he just got hurt. So no one's talking about Burrow. It's all about Mahomes. It's all about Caleb Williams. And Jaden Daniels. But Joey B is going to come back with a vengeance next year, and I'm really freaking excited to see it. Now, next thing. It's the first time I've been live since the Justin Jefferson contract was signed. I look at my analytics whenever I talk NFL. People still tune in. But NFL LSU content, if I go too long on it, people just tune out. I will say, though, if I was LSU, DeCorian Moore coming back on a visit, and you really want DeCorian Moore, the recruiting pitch would be simple. Let's just say it's DeCorian Moore, and let's just say it's us in Texas or us in Ohio State, and Ohio State is offering you $500,000 more a year than what we're offering you. Ohio State produces a lot of NFL wide receivers. That makes sense. They've got a very good wide receiver coach. I know I shouldn't be saying this as an LSU YouTuber. I prefer Cortez Hankton because he's had more recent draft success with five of his players being selected. But that's a different story for a different day. Coach Hartline and, of course, Ohio State, they're freaking loaded. They're freaking loaded at wide receiver. I wouldn't lie to you. But you want to go to Texas? Yeah, Texas just had a good wide receiver draft. Finally. Go to Texas. Go for it. But what I would tell you is Justin Jefferson just signed the biggest deal just signed the biggest deal. Malik Nabers just had lunch with Jay-Z and Tom Brady. Odell Beckham is one of the biggest celebrities on the planet. Like, on the planet Earth. Normally, quarterbacks get this popular. Odell is one of the biggest celebrities on the planet Earth. Who you idolize? Want to go to Texas? Who's a Texas wide receiver that I should talk about? Brennan Eagles? Devin Duvernay? That's who I should talk about? I know there's been more Texas wide receivers, but do what you want to do. Carter, do you think St. Joe Burrow will be a player who had trouble staying injury-free? Does he have an NFL body? It's a good question, Sibley, and one that I'm not fully qualified to answer, but I can tell you that I do know a few people that have had a lot of success in sports medicine. And to say the least, Joe Burrow and injuries are random. I will also tell you, though, it was explained to me, and it's also been explained by a lot of Twitter doctors, that Joe Burrow's hand injury is unique. Right now, he's good. We don't really know until he's fully healthy. But can Joe Burrow stay injury-free? One thing I will say, and this is going to hit different for different people watching the show right now. Amarius Mims was the best offensive tackle I personally graded in this last NFL class. And he was, what, the sixth offensive lineman off the board, and the Bengals got him at pick number 18. I will say I tend to focus on upside a little too much instead of floor. Amarius Mims' floor is way lower than Talese Fuaga's. But Amarius Mims' upside is so freaking good. Like, it's ridiculous how freakishly athletic he is. So he's added to this Bengals offensive line that's been terrible. Obviously, when Ja'Marr Chase gets his deal signed, Sibley, we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you this. Ja'Marr and Joe are about to eat up a lot of their space. And Joe's going to have to come back and play at an extremely high level. One thing I'll say, though, about Burrow, and he doesn't need any motivation. He's a pretty self-driven guy. I do find it a little shocking how all these film guys that know more about football than I do, the Nate Tices of the world, the Derek Klassens, those guys, they put C.J. Stroud ahead of Joe Burrow. They do. They put Justin Herbert ahead of Joe Burrow. They do. I've seen it. Some still put Trevor Lawrence ahead of Joe Burrow. They do. I've seen it. Joe's about to remind all these dudes who this guy is. All right? And I can't freaking wait to see it. If he is healthy, there are only two quarterbacks in the NFL. Well, three, you can for sure say, are ahead of him. Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar. That's it. But Joe's the only one that's beaten Mahomes. The other two have not beaten Mahomes in the playoffs. So I'm still going to take Joe. Now, coming up next, what would the great Blake Ruffino would have done differently if you were Jay Johnson last night? But first, one of the first gifts I gave Blake Ruffino when we became friends was a sports card. So
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right. You are Jay Johnson. What would you have done differently last night, if anything at all?
I don't, of all the coaches on campus, the one that I like to Monday morning quarterback the least has got to be Jay, because baseball is such a highly analytical sport, more than any other sport in the world. You know, like if you watch Moneyball, Carter, I mean, you had a team that won 110 games or 105 games, excuse me, just based off of analytics, and they didn't have the talent. Okay. However, he's not going to care that I say this. I mean, we can have differences of opinion. Jay's pretty level-headed.
Yeah.
I would not have pulled Nate Ackenhausen. I think that there's got to be – because the two times that you pulled him against Tennessee and North Carolina, Carter, they weren't seeing him, right? Like, they weren't seeing what he was throwing. He struck out the side, which, by the way, going to throw this out there, happens 3% of the time in college baseball. Three.
Really?
Yes.
So striking about 1, 2, 3. Okay.
1, 2, 3 is very unlikely. Okay. It's happened before, and LSU was a part of that 3%, but you got to understand the pitchers. You got to understand how many innings were played. Carter, over 14,000 innings in college baseball was played this year. Okay.
So he goes to Gage Jump,
which goes to the point of, I got in an argument. I say an argument. Former baseball players at LSU disagreed with my assessment of Gage Jump in game one. What I told them with Jump came to play in that ninth and tenth inning. Carter, the truth was, Wofford is a mid-major that touched him up a little bit. UNC touched up, like, where Holman's performance I thought was better is because he's facing a better team. Like, Jaden Daniels throwing for 75% versus Alabama versus throwing 75% against Grambling is vastly different, right? Like, it's a vastly different thing.
Right.
Why people can't see that, I don't know. That is the only thing that I would have changed. However, nothing about his style of pitching or what he did on the mound last night beat them. What beat them was, you went seven innings. You only had one hit, the one by Hayden Travinsky in the right field. You can't go seven innings and not have a hit. The truth is, and what me and you just talked about a little bit earlier, they had experienced arms in the pen. You did not. That is the one area that they are better than you in. And I think it's highly ironic that Jay said when they were 2-13 in the league that this team's run would be on the success of their bullpen, which got them to that, you know, to the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Will Helmers kept them there.
Let's go.
But by the way, Paul Maneri started Will Helmers at third. He had three errors in an inning. Okay, he started at third base his first game at LSU, had three errors in an inning, and struck out three times. So the last game that he plays for LSU, he dominated the number four team in the country.
That's so stupid.
Pen, however, did not lose the game. Only getting a hit for seven straight innings lost you the game.
You know, I also would agree with you. When I was doing radio in Arkansas, Dave Van Horn had a loss kind of like this in a regional. And like his,
this is exactly the loss LSU had is Dave Van Horn-esque,
right? Like his, the middle, like the a chunk of his lineup went 0-16 versus like Missouri State.
Yeah, the region. Like yeah, they went 1-19. Do you mind if I have a glass of wine?
Well, here's the thing I was gonna say is you're not allowed to be a true expert of the game of baseball unless you dip.
Got one right here.
That's what I'm saying. I saw you spitting. I was like, okay, Blake
knows. Me and my wife are, you know, Carter, raising two children under five is very difficult. And this is about to be the best glass of alcohol I might have had in my life.
Go for it, man. Wait, so I just couldn't think, though, the mixture of wine and dip.
I can do anything with dip. I can have sex with dip. A dip in. I mean, savages only do what I can do.
That would be... I couldn't imagine a significant other smelling wintergreen.
Well, first off, I don't dip wintergreen. High mint. Which, by the way, I think I'm about to switch this at these Zen pouches that are just nicotine. See how it worked for me.
Yeah, so I've always heard like Zen is like the next thing.
Chance, like, no, the diet is not done. I'm still on carnivore. I'm just having a glass of wine. My wife opened up a bottle of wine. I am on a mission to lose 100 pounds. I'm at 37.
Good, man. I can't lose weight. I can't.
Yeah, you can go carnivore.
That's what I've been. I tried to, and then
no, you got to give it 90 days.
And then
if you give it 90 days, I guarantee you will lose 20 pounds.
I eat eggs and bacon every morning.
You got. I saw your turkey bacon. You got to get rid of turkey bacon.
Why?
Because there's nothing on a turkey that should produce bacon. It's fake.
Okay, so it should just be eggs, not turkey.
Yeah, all right, for eggs, red meat. You want me to tell you what I had today?
Let's go. That's what everybody wants.
I had four grilled chicken tenders and a ribeye. And now I'm drinking a glass of wine as my dessert.
I feel like I'm a Texas A&M grad. All this meat judging we're doing here.
I've had a lot of meat on my body that I've gotten to judge over the years, around the belly area. So,
I'm proud of you though. Like, I think about this a lot with like the college offensive lineman and the NFL offensive lineman losing a ton of weight.
Well, and I've been lifting a lot too.
Good, yeah.
I will tell you, and I'm being serious. I have had more. More gains in the gym physically than I've ever had.
Good.
Rapidly up. I think it's because all the protein I'm ingesting or inhaling. Fasting has been a big thing.
Good.
So, yeah, but anyway, like, back to sports.
No, but I wanted to mention the best interior offensive lineman of all time. I got to show some love to Larry. Well, Alan Faneca bias, but I want to show some love to the real GOAT, which is Larry Allen, who's the best interior offensive lineman I've ever seen. But I also want to show love to Alan Faneca. I do want to show some love for Alan Faneca in the college football.
You know that Larry Allen benched 525 31 times? Or 21 times, whatever ridiculous.
He was definitely the best cowboy on those teams.
Oh.
Easily.
Bulldozer.
Like I think he is an all-time better player than Deion. I think so. I think he was that good at guard.
Did you see that Joel Klatt thing? Can we talk college football in general?
Well, no. Let me get this
okay.
final baseball.
I thought that because you talked about Deion, which made me think of Colorado.
Well, no. But let me ask. So, you know, obviously Jake Brown dropped the ball. I can't really get too mad at that. I just can't.
No, like, I mean, a kid that's not played right field hardly at all.
Yeah, because he's a center fielder, right?
Right. And listen, yeah. I'm not trying to come on your show and throw media members under the bus. The fact that we had a prominent one throwing him under the bus this morning and last night, I got to be honest, Carter, and I'm being serious with this. I'm being dead serious. Has got to be the worst take anybody that has credentials has ever had.
Who was it? I don't know. You could text me if you don't want to bring it.
Yeah, MM. Legitimately, Carter. Let's talk about this. You can't go seven innings without a hit. You can't.
Yeah. Biggest game. Okay.
You just can't. I mean, that's like football wise. It's like not getting past the 50. Oh, right. Wait.
So I will say this about Sir Jake Brown. One thing I am always shocked by is how many like crunch time deep fly balls that are not dropped, because it is different. Because if there's a deep fly ball, you have time to think about everything in life, right? It's not like beating press man and the ball is being delivered to you in half a second. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's played baseball knows that a fly ball will last a freaking eternity. And while that ball is in the air, you're thinking about everything. You're thinking about, oh, I got to make this catch, game on the line. I am honest, and I'm not excusing Jake Brown, but I have talked about this. I've thought about it as a baseball player who did struggle with high fly balls. It can get in your head.
Well, or it's tailing. And here's the thing that everybody's missing with what happened. The ball was hit at 104 miles an hour off the bat and is slicing. Okay, it hits the wall. You know, like for example, like people were mad at Mac Bingham for not catching the ball when he ran at full speed into the wall. Look, Carter, it is the wildest thing to me about what fans get mad at. You know, if you were beating the shit out of a team, Jake Brown's situation wouldn't have even been an issue. The biggest issue, like, it blows my mind that people not talking about not getting a hit in seven innings, but one hit when Hayden Travinsky went to right field. Why people are there is abysmal to me. Like, I legitimately think that it – like, let me give you an example, okay? That is Major League Baseball stuff that you see every night. As I sit in the studio with the TV in here, and I'm watching the Yankees. The Yankees have the best arms in the game. They're the best ERA. They're the best staff, and Garrett Cole's not even here. Carter, they – Major League Baseball, they don't do that. You got absolutely abused at the plate outside of Jared Jones. Now, let me say this. If Jared Jones returns to LSU next year, it would be the biggest get back of a kid that could have left maybe ever. Maybe ever.
So where is he slated to go in the draft right now?
Probably second or third round. You're going to have to pay him. Gonna have to pay him a lot of money, but that point, I think he's got the best eye on the team. Okay, I thought he matured. I thought he played a lot better defensively. Carter, he almost hit 30 home runs. In today's era, like he might be the best power guy that we've ever seen, more than Tommy, more than Dylan, more than any of them, more than Walker, more than Cressy. Because I mean, those teams had bats where, you know. A pimple on a fly's ass would have gotten out of there. You know,
the Z Core era, man.
Yeah, right. I mean, minus three bats. I mean, like the BB Core era. I mean, the kid is that strong. I do think that, you know, like him, he's borderline becoming elite. I'm serious.
Well,
I hate using that word.
Well, I remember texting you 2 years ago. I was like, this guy looks special.
And they projected him as a catcher. He's got too fat of an ass, pause. But, I mean, he's got the biggest ass I've ever seen on a man. I've never seen an ass that juicy on a man. Double pause. But I'm just being honest.
No. I mean, look, you want to know why? Like, so you remember this. 2 years ago, I was like, I think Jared Jones is good. Let me go buy his baseball cards before they
get released. We had that conversation. Yeah, I remember.
And the reason why I thought it was going to be good is exactly what you're talking about, the fat ass. Because I come from
Carter, if he legitimately, this is not BS, if he lined up for Brian Kelly tomorrow, I swear to God, he'd start.
Really?
He's that good of an athlete. Bro, you do realize that the dude ran like a 6.6 60.
Oh, yeah, in baseball, you do the 60s because of
that. Right, but outfielders don't run that. When brother gets them moving, Like, he is the Kyle Williams, white dude athlete. Yeah, like dude's an athlete.
Well, baseball doesn't work out. He can do the baseball to football thing that some basketball players do and be a tight end. Be a linebacker.
He would be elite tight end, dude. He's exceptional. Yeah. And look, in all seriousness, I hope some of these guys come back. I hope Michael Braswell comes back. And look, I hope he does. Legitimately hope he does. I hope Bear Jones comes back.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, played for – yeah, sure did.
Okay. So, well, then, yeah, he could definitely play D1 college football.
Yeah, good. Don't use my words, though. Y'all can't come in here and say good googly moogly. That's what I say. But look, I do think that Jay extended himself. I do think he missed. I think he would admit that he missed on some guys in the portal. But the silver lining, like we talked about tonight, the silver lining is that dude's a psychopath. Like, but he's a good psychopath. Okay. He's the psychopath that turns things good. I mean, he's a Ted Bundy, but in the opposite direction. Like he's the closest thing to Saban that we've had on campus. I swear to God.
Yeah. He does remind me of Nick just in his demeanor, right? He's not a boring personality, but he's about business. You know, he's about
24/7. Carter, let me just say this. Golly, he's gonna kill me. I know of a guy that was on a plane back from Los Angeles. Okay, this is about 3 weeks ago, and he gets off the plane in New Orleans at about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And he turns his phone back on and he has a text from Jay. And he goes, "What are you doing?" And so he takes an hour long car ride back to the house. He was on the phone with Jay Johnson, picking this guy's brain on stuff. Elite baseball mind. Jay is the most obsessed human being on the face of the planet about winning. Most obsessed. Good. And I think that there's a silver lining in, look, you weren't going to win a national championship this year, and this dude's about to kill the portal. He's about to kill the portal.
Are you – so obviously, I mean, it's way too early to talk about next year's team. But
very much so, like, because you have no idea who's going to be here.
But Milam for sure is starting.
Yeah, Milam he's for sure starting, but Milam, Larson, Brown, for sure coming back. I really do hope Michael Braswell comes back. And listen, I probably shouldn't say this, but I have 3 sips of wine and I haven't drank in 90 days. I think the kid is better than Jordan Thompson. I think that he gets unfair criticism because of what he looks like. I fully believe that. And I think this fan base needs to get better with stuff like that. Carter, if I would have told anybody in this chat right now in February that kid would hit 320, they would be good googly moogling down themselves.
I back that up, what you said. And also, it doesn't help that he's playing shortstop, right? That's the –
It does. He's a second baseman in the league.
Right. Shortstop, like out of anything in baseball and just anything in sports, I think if you've not stepped on like a real baseball diamond in a long time, I think the craziest thing is when you stand out there at shortstop and you see how freaking long of a throw it is every single time. Like, of course, sometimes you're a little bit close.
I took BP 2 weeks ago. A buddy of mine in Georgia, my brother was there. My son was there. Dude, I took BP. I hadn't taken BP since high school. Or no, probably college. Probably my freshman year of college. But, dude, I was trying to rip the cover off the ball. People don't realize, man. And look, Carter, he had an error in the last 15 games. So if you're able to get him back, you know, look, you're going to have to open up the pocketbook. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? More than any other sport with this fan base, the collective when it comes to what players are getting paid in baseball is not dysfunctional like football is. Let me ask you this question. Name any bit of drama that you've ever heard about LSU baseball since Jay Johnson's been here, whether it be money, anything. Name one thing that you've ever heard about drama.
None.
And you know why? Because from the top down, everything is done at an elite level. Miss a payment, see what happens in that collective. See what happens. You're gonna have a 5'7" Irishman that's gonna be at your door with a butcher knife if you're not ready to roll with that money. I'm serious. So
I don't know anything about baseball in IL. Zero.
Look, nobody is gonna believe me in this, but I will back this up. Is it football? Is it as high as football to the high premier players? No. However, is it highly competitive? Yes. If you would have known what, what Brady Montgomery got paid to go to Texas A&M is insane. We're talking about like demonic Williams level.
That's crazy. I would also think baseball's baseball is just so interesting to me. Like, now I talked about this in your show. We won't get into like the slippery slope about like the 11.7 scholarships and the good and bad about the expansion of that. But like, I mean, this postseason is just the freaking best. Like UConn versus Oklahoma. Yes. You're talking about that game. Man, I will sit and watch any two teams in a regional go at it. It doesn't matter.
And the supers take it up a notch.
Yes,
the and then supers Omaha are. Takes it up a notch. Carter, I will tell you this, and you, I've told you this off air. It doesn't bother me to say this. From the audio podcast numbers from Omaha last year, from the national championship last year, I had bigger numbers than I've ever had in my entire life. More than a head coaching search in football, more than coordinator searches, more than all of it. This place is built differently for this sport. It just is, and it always will be. Carter, I told my wife this the other night, and she's like, you know, it stinks because last year you had so much fun. It's fun. Like, Carter, every pitch last night from the eighth inning on, every pitch my heart would sing.
It's insane.
It is the best postseason. And I thought – you brought up an interesting point that I didn't think about because I don't think about it from other sports because college baseball has done this for so long. But we're about to get it in football, at least for one round. Could you imagine Penn State, the number 10 seed, coming to the number 7 seed LSU and coming to Baton Rouge for a playoff game? Could you imagine Oregon coming to Baton Rouge for a playoff game? The insanity that's going to happen with football has already been perfected with baseball.
Yeah, and Herbie and Fowler on the call, they would definitely not miss that. That's insane. Like, I will say this. Sports are meant to be played at home and away venues. It adds so much to it. It adds a different dynamic that a neutral site game doesn't bring, which was why I did a whole week of Joe Burrow saving us from that in the NFL. And if you want to see how, you can go watch a video. But Joe Burrow saved us from that in the NFL. And obviously, the Super Bowl is a neutral site, but it could have been a lot worse. The NFL would prefer all their playoff games to be neutral site because they would make a shit ton of money. with people bidding for sites and all of that. The bidding wars have gone up to the point now where I have even heard from some Sugar Bowl sources that there is a lot of danger for New Orleans to get out of the Sugar Bowl, out of
Landry made a comment today. He said that that won't happen. And then he said that when the, you know, by the time New Orleans hosts the Super Bowl, that the city will be cleaned up. Now I'll say this, you know, to your point about that, I'm not getting political. That place needs to be cleaned up.
I'm with you.
You know, it's too dangerous. Like, let me, buddy of mine, you know, look, I told people this before I went and did this full time. Like, I have a vast experience in law practicing and on the other side. Carter, the last Saints game that I went to was a Monday night game versus Baltimore. And me and my buddy were there and left after the game. Lamar Jackson was incredible.
Yeah.
Saints got beat, you know, whatever. And we go back to his car, and there are three men, boys, sitting on the hood of his car.
That's insane.
And we say, hey, can you get off the car? We're trying to leave. And they said some explicits, and my buddy, without missing a beat, put his hand in his pants, like, you know how, like, get off the car, okay? And then pulls out a necklace that he wears. Dudes get off the car and run. That place has got to get cleaned up. And we have, you know, look, I love this state more than anything, but it's become a travesty. I didn't know we'd be talking about this tonight, but to your point about that, I know for a fact that there have been conversations about the national championship not being played in New Orleans.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I will cry because my dad and I have gone to 10 Sugar Bowls, well, I think 12 Sugar Bowls together, and we've been together like 15 to 20 total. I worked Super Bowl week. The last time I was in New Orleans, and that was once again the Ravens and the 49ers. So, the Harbaugh Bowl.
Bro, what if I would have told you in that Super Bowl that 2 years after that, Colin Kaepernick would protest the NFL, one of the Harbaugh brothers would be at Michigan. He would start off horrible, but would cheat his way like his name was Bill Belichick and film people. He would win a national championship and then go to the Chargers. Oh, by the way, Colin Kaepernick, who, by the way, absolutely abused Green Bay and all these other teams. He would never play another snap after 2 years.
Yeah, people forget how good he was. Cap was
bad. I mean, he fell off the wagon. I mean, he got pretty bad, but that one playoff run, he was exceptional. You know who he was, man? He was Nick Foles without the Super Bowl.
I will say this, though, now with camera phones and all that, the media would destroy New Orleans if there's a beating in window epidemic.
Good friend of mine was at our house 2 weeks ago. State police. State police have to patrol New Orleans now. He's walking down drunk. The drunk walks out, you know, of this place, this fried chicken establishment. I'm not going to say which one. Walks out and, like, pushes him. Pushes the cop. State trooper. My buddy, okay, is been training jiu-jitsu since like 2003. Yeah. Put him in a full, like, you ever seen that video where it's like, I put him in a full Nelson? You know, you're
yeah.
He will mess you up. Wait, I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole. People get too political in here. I can't stand that, but I'm just saying, you know, by the way, this baseball right here, by the way, was a foul ball that was caught in the 2009 Super Regional.
Oh, nice.
This ball right here was hit by DJ LeMahieu in batting practice, and he tossed it to a young, fat, chubby Ruffino, and his scruff mark is still on there where he hit it, and said, "Keep grinding, kid."
Funny thing.
Hold on one second.
Okay, let's see it.
This is an SEC championship game home run ball hit by Mikey Matuk. Now, don't tell him I say that because he's in media.
I love Mikey Matuk. He was one of my favorites.
Hear something crazy?
What's that?
The laces on the SEC baseball is different than this. The SEC baseball is about a quarter of a kilogram, or maybe not kilogram. I'm forgetting the weight. But anyway, the NCAA baseball is lighter than the SEC baseball that was used. How about that?
That's interesting. Sibley says he's been packing since he was 19. I see you, Sibley.
Well, people in Franklin are stupid. I'm one of them, so I can say that.
I will tell you this. The Super Bowl week is just insane. Like, it's so insane. What I would bring up, though, my final thing about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to understand how crazy it is that LSU has six national championships.
Seven
now with Jay Johnson. Like, and if you actually just look at how miraculous all of them were, it's unlike anything else, man. It is untrue.
And Jay's going to get another one. Jay 100% is going to get another one.
And Stephen Milam will be hoisting the trophy next season. And the stripes on his hair.
Okay, hold on. Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of chirping going on at the Chapel Hill Regional. I heard that there were UNC fans hackling Stephen Milam before he hit the home run against Wofford. One UNC fan said something to Stephen Milam, and he told somebody that he eats burritos bigger than him. Stephen Milam goes up to the plate. The fan told that to Milam. Milam goes up to the plate and hits the home run to end it.
That's crazy. Nothing like a.
You know what else? You know what else is crazy about baseball? Fans are more insane and are able to talk to players. They can in football, but
no. You can't in football. You really can't.
Well, you are, but like if you're on the front row, like front two, three, four rows, you can. In baseball, Jake Brown's going to be talked to the entire night.
Right. But even in football, there's so much coach communication. Everything's happening so fast. And there's so many loud. There's a band, like super big sound system, light shows. Baseball, you honestly, fans can really change the outcome. Like,
change the outcome of him missing that baseball.
Yeah. And look.
Dylan Cruz, you know what's crazy? Dylan Cruz missed a fly ball in right field when LSU beat one against Oregon in Paul Manares last year for them to go to a super regional. He missed it. He was a freshman. Dylan Cruz, we're talking about. Dylan Cruz started in right. People forget about that.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. There wasn't a true center fielder until his sophomore and junior year. Dylan talked about how things had gotten into his head and Paul Maneri had to calm him down, and they made the final. He made the final out in Oregon in the Eugene Regional. And you can go look this up. Dylan Cruz, after he catches that line drive into right field, waves at the fan base, the Oregon fan base, that had been hackling him for 4 days.
God, I love it, man. I'm telling you, man, this sport, the pitch clock, like you mentioned earlier, only a three-hour extra inning high-leverage game. 3 hours is so short for a game like that.
No doubt. I mean, you won't walk out of a football game in 3 hours.
I think if this LSU North Carolina game was played without the pitch clock and just the overall pace of play, well, that's at least a 3 hour, 30 minute game.
Oh, longer than that. Probably a four-hour one.
Yeah, because it's just far more mind.
You know what? Nobody is complaining about watching that high level of
endeavor. Right, exactly. Like, you want it to go for forever. Obviously, you want your team to win. But it's made it better. Pitch clock's made the game better.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I think it's the sad part about that, though, is it's hurt a lot more kids.
Oh, you think so?
Tommy John surgeries are up, shoulder injuries are up. There's only one thing that's associated to that. Only one. That's the pitch clock. You're seeing it at every level besides high school, and there's not a pitch clock in most states. In college, injuries are massively up. In Major League Baseball, in AAA, AA, things are massively up. Not only that, injuries in the field are massively up. Massively. It's not even remotely close because there's a pace of play that you're used to playing. There's a pace of play that you're used to pitching. Right? And 1,000% to Matthew, it's the pace of play is hurt.
One more thing. My biggest what if, like, so I know quite a few people close to Ryan Perilou. I heard he was an unreal baseball talent. I heard he was.
Yeah, led the state in home runs.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I was like, man, what if that sport? What if he went and played that sport? Which there's just not as much fame, glitz, and glamour. He's probably a little bit more locked in.
I don't think he would have made it baseball wise. Talent or no talent, you got to be. Look, you can't. There's things that you allow in football that will never be allowed in baseball. You can't act the way that. You can't. I mean, you know what? You got to act like Chad Jones. All business. There are just things you can't do, man.
All right, we got a question for Blake. Feel free to fire it in. If you do super chat, we'll go straight to it. Any topic you want to.
Chance, no, he did not. But continue. What's the question?
Oh, yeah, no arm injuries this year? Yeski?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Big W, okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, and there's another very bad rumor about Nate Yeski out there, which, Carter, can I tell you something? I'm so tired of this media corps. Anyway, continue.
Well, can I ask what the rumor is, or is it too explosive?
That him and Jay are not seeing eye to eye. So stupid.
I'm. You would know. So, I wouldn't know.
Yes.
Yeah, so but I do want to talk a little bit about football here.
All right, let's do it. You know
what was the what has been your biggest football takeaway, period? Whether it's recruiting or just anything else over the past week.
Don't ask me. Oh, over the past week?
Or just anything. Say whatever you're gonna say. Go for it.
I'm not gonna go here. I don't know. How serious are you? How serious are you as a program?
Oh, but stepping
up. How much does winning matter to you?
Interesting.
Yeah, how much does winning matter to you? Because I do think that there comes a time and place where, look, the fan base is going to be the fan base. And I'm not saying Demonic Williams would have done anything.
Are we out of Simeon Barrow altogether?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're out there. I should have asked you about. I talked to you about that tonight, but
I
with baseball.
I thought since Barrow got back in, or there would be more rumors.
Yeah, he was letting him out of the financial aid paperwork, allegedly.
Yeah, I thought because of that there would be more like steam. Barrow actually picking LSU, but I've not heard anything.
I think they're going with what they got. And I question, you know, like, how serious are you? You know, Carter, when you question somebody and you question somebody in football, from the staff, there becomes a lot of pushback from you who says what I just said. Now, I have received and been on the end of a very nasty phone call multiple times, but Carter, are we serious? I mean, you feel it. I know that you feel it. Are we serious about what needs to be done? Look, man. I'm not saying that I would do any better about anything, but there's one thing that I know that I would do. I wouldn't lose a kid over money. It would not happen. What other fan bases have done and what other teams have done to get where they are. Carter, who are the top – name the top five teams in college football right now. Go.
Are you talking about – are you asking me just programs or teams?
No, like who is the top five teams going into this season? Go.
The only three
– Georgia?
The only three that should be locked in top five is Georgia, Texas, and
what? Ohio State.
Ohio State. Those are the only.
What do all three of those have in common?
I guess you could say a very fun transfer portal period, which features a lot of spending.
Well, not only that, they don't give two Rudy Poos about what kids asking about what and what money it costs, and they don't, you know, Carter, let's just call it what it is. They're not missing on dudes. Okay. And what if all three of them, what do all three of them have in common? Kirby sent out a link to their collective when he lost Caleb Downs for the second time. Ryan Day said, I need $13 million to fund my roster. They have arguably the biggest collective in the country outside of Texas and then Texas. And people tell me that we can't compete. I don't agree with that. You got to be more organized. And what I think has happened here is that there has been pushback from older, white-haired, saggy-ass, low, no-nipple-having ass old boosters who are dumb as fuck who have gotten into the administration's head about how we need to do things. With that being said, if LSU does not get this fan base involved in the collective, we will lose.
I was thinking about this while you're going on that diatribe, and I'm like, man, how much better would I feel about LSU if they would have gotten one? Well, not just Simeon Barrow, but like Caleb Downs. Like the fact that you could have got out there and got Caleb Downs. I've heard all different numbers.
Carter, Sam Petito was hired the day before Caleb Downs committed. Sam Petito was at Alabama, and then Kalen DeBoer fired him. That's a dude from Louisiana, bro. And I'm just going to tell you. So there are things that we have not done that we needed to do. Bottom line, look, Carter, let me just tell you that I want to win. I hate losing more than I love winning.
Honestly, that actually should be your mindset in college football. Losses are so much important than wins in
Carter, college. We should have lost to Florida State in two straight years. You have an issue, not based on of. By the way, you see, Richard Lindsay, but Jimmy Lindsay's tweet last night, go Tar Heels. Been pissing me off. But
I had no problem with it.
You're going to wait until they win? You ain't going to talk about baseball? I went and looked at all of his tweets. You ain't going to talk about baseball until when you beat one team. Yeah, go sit on a box of sticks, you fat. Anyway.
Damn.
Talking about him, you cannot help that he had that issue, that he had that medical emergency, right?
Right. That's why I always feel bad for him.
Well,
I'm always going to feel bad for him.
It is what it is.
Right.
But there was some bad luck. But when you have bad luck like that, your head coach has got to step up. And what I feel that people hear me saying is that, like, oh, LSU, Blake is being down on LSU. No, I'm not being down on LSU. I want you to be up there with those other teams.
Right.
That's what I want. And now with Nick not being here, I think that you have a chance to be one of the elite teams in the SEC. And I don't think that you've taken it seriously enough to get to that place.
I also think one thing, and I will always hold true to this. I'm still blown away how good Kirby is at all of this. Like,
no, you're not. No, you're not, because he was with the mentor. He was with the best for the longest.
But, like, the level.
Same way that Nick was with Belichick the longest.
But
why is it that? Go ahead.
I'm just saying, the dude is so freaking special as a coach. Like, he is so freaking special.
And you know what? You know why? And you know why you don't hear other drama other than guys getting pulled over for going the wrong way and having an accident? It's because nobody has an issue with money.
Everyone's getting paid.
And it's a lot like Jay, where everything's lined up and buttoned up. And if you don't want to get on that ship, then goodbye.
And understand, I'm only making that point about Kirby for this. I think BK with this next 2025 class is shaping up really nicely, but I'm just telling you, it's so important for the future of LSU football that we are rarely going to play Georgia on our schedule. And like you said, it opens up. It really opens up for you to be.
Carter, you don't play anybody in the SEC this year that's one of those premier three teams.
You don't. Excuse me.
God bless you.
I say that because I think Sark's got some good things going at Texas. We don't play them. We do not play them.
And see, like, Texas, Ohio State, Georgia pays players to retain them on their roster. That's also what LSU does. What LSU doesn't do is go to the next level, which they have done in 2025. Okay, for now, they have not gone to the next level that those other programs have gotten. And listen, I'll use this player as an example. When you go after Colin Simmons, are you really think that it's not going to be a bidding war when you're battling Texas? How foolish and naive are you to believe when you go up against Miami, Texas, Oklahoma, that you legitimately think that you're not going to be in a bidding war?
I put this in our Discord today. If Miami is in a school's, if it is in a player's top three, good luck. And I'm not just saying this from NIL being good at Miami or whatever. It's just, a lot of Miami recruits are in it for that reason. You have got to be ready.
Carter, they're my sleeper team. And you know what? DJ Pickett's number two team is Miami.
So be ready.
Now you have to know on June the 4th that come December the 4th, regardless if the kid ever commits, Miami will come to the table and drop that bag.
Florida State getting Coleman at wide receiver instead of LSU. Coleman's a beast. Don't get it twisted. I'm not even sure that would have been the most important transfer for you versus, you know.
No, I mean, I agree with that. But then, like, Carter, remember, dude, me and you had these conversations. Remember how I was telling you I thought how, like, elite Keon Coleman was?
Yeah, I mean, he's phenomenal.
We had the conversations. And you know what? When me and you had those conversations every night or every Monday night, people said that he wouldn't play here.
Yeah, I mean, we got into some intense Keon Coleman and BTJ debates. I thought,
and look, I will admit where I'm wrong. I think BTJ now has shown that he is better. But are we talking about 1A, 1B between the both of those dudes?
No, they're close. I mean, he's not.
Right. So I don't think that me and you are very vastly off. No. But could you have imagined Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, and Brian Thomas Jr.?
Oh, yeah. That would have been.
Oh, that would have been 2019-esque.
Yeah. That would have. I would have been freaking insane.
And it sucks that that kid's from Louisiana, too. It also sucks that Trey Harris is from Louisiana.
Or a guy that made me some money last year is Dontayvion Wicks. Dontayvion Wicks is so freaking good. Like, he is so freaking good. And we didn't need him, obviously, but he's still so freaking good at football. To the point now, like, Green Bay's like, man, he might be our best receiver on our team. No. Took him in
Who's the dude number nine?
Yeah, so they have Christian Watson. That's him.
Yeah, that was going to be the dude. And then they got the Dobbs dude, right?
Romeo Dobbs. And they had Jaden Reed from Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, number one, right?
Who, number one in college. He wears number 11 for the Packers. And Jaden Reed got outproduced by Keon Coleman at Michigan State. And
dude was producing with Peyton Thorne as his quarterback.
Yeah, and one more thing about Keon Coleman outproducing Jaden Reed in college, and this is the craziest thing, is Jaden Reed from high school to college, the only quarterback he ever played with was Peyton Thorne.
How nuts is that?
Like, he spent 1 year at Western Michigan where Peyton Thorne wasn't there. So he had, like, baked-in chemistry with the guy. They were best friends. And Keon Coleman still outproduced him at Michigan State, which is still wild. So there you go. I know you're tired. I'm wearing down as well.
Yeah, dude, I've been up since, like, 5:30. Yes, man.
Ironically, I woke up at 5:30. This morning. I never get up that early. I'm not like you. I get up at...
I didn't have a choice.
Oh, you have infants.
Not infants, but...
Well, one of them...
Look, I'll just say this in closing before we get out of here. Okay? I think under Brian Kelly, no matter what, you roll out of bed a 9-3 team. And if at worst comes to worst, you're 8-4. I'm tired of being 9-3. And if you're missing the playoff, we got to have a serious conversation, like a serious conversation about what we need to do look, all I'm saying is to help Brian Kelly propel us to that next step. Carter, if you go to the playoffs every year, I mean, do I want you to win one? Yeah, eventually. But if you're going there every year, I'm going to be satisfied.
Yeah, me too. I will also say this, and I truly do believe this. I think if LSU had Caleb Downs, or if we had just gotten involved in the bidding wars with the elite guys, and just gotten, you know, at least like a Walter Nolan or something like that, that might be the difference in a full win. Maybe it's just half a win.
You were gonna pay Demonic Williams what Walter. More than what Walter Nolan got.
And Walter Nolan's way better.
1,000%.
Way better. When he's locked in, ready to go, he's good. Very good.
I mean, I do think he's a cancer, but I mean, I do think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
You know, that. But I mean, man, you got to take that. Look, here's the disconnect that I think that we miss upon. The disconnect that all of us miss upon is clear. Okay. And Carter, I mean this with all due respect. Now, on July the 1st, LSU is going to be able to pay players. They passed that law. It's going into effect on July the 1st. Okay. Carter, you're getting paid around and roughly $60 million of TV revenue money. That's not ticket sales. That's not jersey sales. That's not attire. That's not donations. And what LSU does is they get an accountant, and the accountant sits down with his little stupid pocketbook and calculator, old glasses head ass, going down there and making it look like that they had a profit and loss, and they lost money. If LSU football and LSU sports and athletics is losing money, then I got a six pack. It's a lie, because anybody that runs a business knows that what you actually make is not what you show on your tax returns. It's just the truth, okay? So bottom line returns here is, I am fugsy tired of hearing LSU ain't got money, LSU ain't got this, LSU ain't got that. Well, then go get that hoe. Because I know of a guy that's 5'7 and Irish that went and kicked down the door to get Paul Skeens and didn't take no for an answer. When are we going to get that mentality? Who's the best? Hey, let me tell you this. You know where this is going to – the nail's going to hit the head on this one? Jaheim Stewart.
So for those that don't know, he's the number one player in the country for the class of 2026. Could move to 2025, and he's a five-star defensive lineman out of New Orleans. St. Aug, too. The most
– you better be willing to go full Leonard Fournette. Plus some.
Oh, you never go full Fournette.
Let me tell you this. I would make Leonard Fournette and everything in that recruitment look like it's a kindergarten class eating cupcakes.
That is so good.
I'll walk in the park in this thing. I'm sorry that – does it seem – have I been negative on this show?
No, I – well, here's the thing. I think there's a difference between being negative
– and being real.
And yeah, just being honest. That's all there is to it. Can honesty have negative connotations? True. But when I hear someone being negative, I think negative more closely asides with, well, the whole loss is Jake Brown's fault. I think that's being negative. But you know, if you're just being real, you're being real. All right, buddy. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, this was a good hour that we were here.
That the wine and the fatigue is settling in. I love to see it.
Dude, let me just tell you, because I don't know if you're going to have kids one day. I hope that you do, and I hope that you get the joy that I get to have every day. Carter, when 10 o'clock gets here, buddy, I am pooped.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I got to go take a shit anyway.
So you're.
I'm just joking. Yeah,
no, your diaper is about to be filled, essentially.
100%. Like my name's Chris Farley.
There you go. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Check him out.
Thank you for having me.
Blake Ruffino, AYS. Hey, man.
Thank you for having me. Everybody go sub right now. If you're not sub, go sub.
Go sub. Blake Ruffino, AYS. We'll talk to you soon, my brother. D-Pain was good. I'm about to go pass out as well. Actually, I did wake up at 5:30 this morning. So I'll take a few more, though. There's still quite a few of you in here. Killing Mbappe to Real Madrid. Don't want me to go on another Real Madrid rant. Do you want me to go on another Real Madrid rant? Because I will. What moment was hilarious, D-Pain? Good to see you. Got to meet D-Pain in Chi-Town last year while I was on a business trip. So we'll take a few more. I know, Jared, here's the thing about old-timers. When you reach a certain age, you can get up at 5 in the morning and go to bed at 11. I mean, it doesn't matter. But if you're in your 30s, you just get tired too easy. I don't get tired. LSU will play Texas or Bama in the SEC championship. Hopefully it's Texas. I don't want anything of a Bama rematch. Because you know what happened last time. Unless, of course, we lose the first time, I want a rematch. Don't forget my new NFL video. And this helps with the algorithm. Instead of me sharing a link, go to Power Hour LSU. Power Hour NFL. And please, if it is in your heart's desire, watch the full video. I am asking you nicely to go watch the full video and just leave a comment. There it is. I'll post it again in the YouTube chat. There you go. And with that, I'm about to go pass out. We'll be live tomorrow night at 6. We'll have some film study tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central. So we hope to see you there. Once again, special shout out to nooffseason.com. And let's run through the top super chatters here this evening. Sibley takes home the top spot. I think Sibley's done that at least 50 times. I really appreciate you and your generosity. No Venmos, no Cash Apps tonight. And you know, we always got to save one of the goats for last. Jared freaking Addison, I appreciate your friendship and I hope you are feeling better. I tell you, Sibley probably gets up at 3 in the morning, goes to bed at 2 in the morning, gets an hour rest, 3 a.m., cup of coffee is already rolling. And we'll talk to you soon. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. And tonight we are doing burger patties, carnivore diet. Let's go. Let's go.